Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Bitcoin collapsing under $40,000 per coin. So is now the time to buy, sell, or hold? Well, let's dive into the news and see what's going on. And at the end of this, I'll give you my opinion. I can't give you any financial advice, but I can tell you what I am doing with my own portfolio. And I am someone that thinks that everyone should own Bitcoin, not necessarily because of the price going up or it going to $1 million or anything like that. But really, I like it because it gives you some form of purchasing power outside of the commercial banking system. I like Rolex watches for the same reason. They're a little bit less volatile, maybe more of a store of value, but we'll get into that in a moment. Let's dive into the first story. This is from CNBC. Cryptocurrencies tumble with Bitcoin falling 10% and Ether down 12%. Bitcoin prices fell sharply on Friday, while Ether prices also dived, wiping off nearly $150 billion from the crypto market. One thing I want to point out here, I do believe the market cap to cryptocurrency has a big impact on labor force participation. And I know that's hard for a lot of people to get their head around. It's even hard for me to get my head around. But I just, from what I see in my daily life, especially for retail jobs, I think there's so many young people in their 20s and 30s that have not gone back to work because they just simply don't have to, because they bought $4,000 worth of, maybe this isn't Bitcoin or Ether, or Ethereum, but maybe it was Cordova, or I don't know, the little Dogecoin, whatever it is, one of the other coins. You know, they bought it $4,000 worth maybe at the beginning of 2022, and now that's worth $4 million. And I've actually spoken to a lot of people that would fall into that category, that maybe not $4 million, but that their $4,000, $5,000 initial purchase is now worth over $1 million. So especially when you look specifically at that demographic, I don't see how it couldn't have impacted labor force participation to a significant degree when we see the market cap of crypto go up to, I don't know what it was a few months ago, maybe 2 trillion. I did a whiteboard video on it. Obviously a lot lower now. But so what this could mean from a macro standpoint is, as the price of Bitcoin or Ethereum, assuming that other cryptocurrencies are going down to the same degree. And I don't know that they are. I actually should have looked at that prior to doing this video. That's something, maybe I'll do another video on that later on this afternoon. But assuming that the market cap, let's just say it goes from 2 trillion down to 1 trillion or down to 500 billion, I almost guarantee you that the labor force participation in that demographic would be significantly higher than it is today, for sure. Now, ditto that with the stock market or the real estate market, with the maybe the Gen Xers and the boomers. If I'm going to sit there and pick on the young kids and everything, we've got to look at that through this, or we got to look at the boomers and the Gen Xers through the same lens of asset prices. Maybe it's not cryptocurrency, but it's definitely their 401k and the real estate market. So, I mean, let's go back to, I think we did the video yesterday where we were talking about and comparing the Fed's balance sheet, or them even talking about tapering back in November, and where the stock market is today. It's significantly lower, and it's gone up, it's gone down, it's gone up, it's gone down. But now it is definitely lower than it was at the beginning of November when they first started talking about this. And you say, well, George, that's got a lot of the scariant baked into it. Okay, well, that should have the end of the scariant, or the end of the pandemic, for heaven's sakes. It should have, that is baked into the market, I would argue, right now as well. And it's still down significantly since the beginning of November. And what this says is that there's going to, if the Fed continues with their tapering, quantitative tightening, increasing in interest rate, I'm not saying the market's going down, but there will be significant headwinds to the stock market and potentially the real estate market. I think more so the stock market. But this could have the same dynamic, where if the stock market goes down by 30%, you don't think the labor force participation is going to increase? And then And then we could go to from a labor shortage to a labor surplus. If we go to a labor surplus, what on earth does that do to the overall economy? So I don't want to go down that rabbit hole too far. Let's stick with cryptocurrency. But a lot of variables here, a lot of things to think about that are maybe a derivative of what's happening with the price of cryptocurrency. So Bitcoin, again, fell 10%, trading near $38,425 late Friday morning, according to Coinmetrics. Ether, the second largest cryptocurrency by market cap, dived 12% down to $2,807. The declines in cryptocurrency follow basically losses on Wall Street Thursday. NASDAQ down 5% over the week. S&P down third straight week. 10-year Treasury spiked earlier this week. Rising rates have caused some investors to shed their position in riskier assets. Yeah, I think that's true. I don't know how long yields will spike. I don't know if I would consider myself a Treasury bear. I mean, there's no way I'd buy a Treasury. There's no chance, just because you got such a negative yield to inflation. But if I had to make a bet as to if Treasury yields will be higher in 6 months or maybe 3 months than they are now, I don't know. I'm not sure, because I see there being a good probability the stock market goes down. What do people rotate into if they rotate into Treasuries just to maintain their purchasing power or maintain more purchasing power than going into cash alone, just because they are getting a small yield, although the real yield is negative. This could create more demand and push prices down on the long end of the curve, push yields down on the long end, put prices up. And this at a time when the Fed is raising rates at the short end. So short end going up, long end going down, flattening yield curve, higher probability of recession. I think that's a significant probability as well. That said, the trend lately has been stock market down and bond prices down. And so if you want to think through that for a moment, what has happened since 1980, we'll call it? Well, it's been the boom of the risk parity portfolio, or the 60-40 split portfolio. So every single financial advisor you go to, they'll say, okay, well, based on your age and your risk tolerance and blah, 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 we just have to have you in 60% bonds or whatever, 40% stocks, or maybe it's reversed because of your age. And they say that this is a great hedge because if stocks go down, then the bond prices will go up and blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's fine. And that's worked well since the early 1980s, but it sure as heck didn't work in the 1970s. That's for sure. Look at 1972 to 74. The stock market went down by over 50% in nominal terms. So what if you would have had bonds in your portfolio that you purchased, I don't know, in your savings account, in your 401k or whatever, or your life savings, that you bought them when interest rates were a lot lower? I'm don't have a chart from my head, but let's just say in the mid-1960s or the early 1960s, and then we get to the 1970s, the prices of bonds collapse, interest rates go up, the stock market collapses. What happens to the purchasing power of the people that have 99% of their net worth, these boomers, let's say, today? What happens if we see that type of environment now in the United States, same environment that we saw in the 1970s, early 1970s? That would be a collapse in overall purchasing power that I think would collapse the entire economy as well. And you say, well, George, the Fed will just step in and with their Fed put, or the government will spend money. I don't know. In an environment where headline CPI is 7%, and the politicians know that if that continues, there's basically a 0% probability they get reelected. Much different environment today when the headline CPI is at 7% compared to an environment that we've seen since, let's say, the GFC, when headline CPI was even below 2%. And that was the problem, was disinflation, according to them.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capital's Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
Let's keep moving on down the article. The common investment case for Bitcoin is that it serves as a hedge against rising inflation as the government's stimulus. But analysts are saying the risk is more that the hawkish Fed may wind out or take the wind out of Bitcoin sales. Sorry about that, guys. Don't have my glasses on. Yeah, I don't know that it's a big inflation hedge. I mean, we'll have to see. I think maybe long term for, let's say, 50% of the market participants in Bitcoin, probably an inflation hedge, but there's a lot of froth in there. And to think that 100% of the people that own Bitcoin are just hodlers that understand Austrian economics, I think you're kidding yourself. There's a lot of people that just own Bitcoin because they want to get rich. So if it continues to go down, they'll be sellers. They're not holding it as an inflation hedge. They're not holding it because they value the principles of sound money. They're just, it's basically a lottery ticket to them. So I think you're seeing a lot of this froth come out of the market. And if I was a holder, I would say that's a good thing. That's a good thing because you're getting rid of all the weak hands. This is a healthy free market in action. But as far as just specifically a hedge against inflation, I'm not quite sure I'd go that far. And I do think it could be a risk on asset, meaning that the price will go down if we see asset risk on assets really go down, such as the stock market. And but to be fair, gold's in the same position. Like if we have a 20% correction in the stock market, 2 weeks, disorderly drop in the stock market, collapse, if you will, my guess is that the price of gold would tank and so would Bitcoin. So I think that would be a great buying opportunity. But I think that's what you'd see because so many of these hedge fund managers and so many of these large pools of money, they need to sell just whatever's liquid. And if they don't have a bid on their bonds or the debt that's in their portfolio, they got a bid on Bitcoin. They have to sell it. They don't have a choice. Same thing with gold. And you saw this back in 2020 of March. You also saw it in during the GFC with Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns with the price of gold. So it wouldn't surprise me, if we see that same type of dynamic playing out in 2022 if the market goes down. And you got to remember, it's not just the Fed's balance sheet. It's not just them raising interest rates. It's also the repo market. Remember what happened with the repo spike back in September of 2019? This is the plumbing of the entire financial system. Global financial system. So if the repo market freezes up, the whole entire house of cards collapses. And that's all asset prices. And when I mean freeze up, I mean interest rates spiked where there's nothing they can do about it. Now, there are some more tools that the Fed has at their disposal. They've made the standing repo facility permanent, as an example. Now, will that solve the problem? I don't know. Because we have another layer of unknown here from a standpoint of them switching from LIBOR over to SOFR. So then you go back to September 2019, and there's two schools of thought there. One, it was a cash shortage, so there weren't enough bank reserves. Another one would say, well, it was a collateral shortage. There wasn't enough pristine collateral. Well, okay, well, the Fed's doing quantitative tightening. What are they doing? They're reducing the amount of bank reserves. They're reducing the cash. They're reducing, theoretically, the balance sheet capacity for those big banks to lend into repo. Got it. What are they doing if they're increasing interest rates? Well, they're decreasing the price of bonds because it's just an inverse relationship between the price and the yield. So if the price goes down, of a bond, that means there's less overall collateral that you have. And if you have the same liquidity needs, now all of a sudden you got problems. So the Fed, I think inadvertently, could be giving a 1-2 punch to the repo market. And if they do, then the stock market, everything else as far as asset prices, are going to collapse with it. So I'm not saying this is a prediction. I'm saying this is something we really, really need to pay attention to, because it's vitally important. You need to think through the probabilities. You need to think through what if this happens. You know, how is my portfolio set up? I think this is the repo market, in my opinion, is the biggest slap, the biggest potential black swan event moving into 2022. Again, not a prediction, just something I really think we should pay attention to. So getting back to the crypto and Bitcoin, regulators are cracking down on cryptocurrencies too. China completely banning all crypto-related activities. I know the hodlers and the Bitcoin maximalists just get sick and tired of this argument. I get it. And I don't think this is really a big deal if Bitcoin continues to be seen as a digital asset by the central planners, at least in the United States. In fact, I would argue that the central planners want Bitcoin to go up, because that bails them out, because it means more aggregate demand. And right now they want as much aggregate demand as they can possibly get without having to, you know, create consumer price inflation, without having to send out stimmy checks, as an example. So if they can increase, if the market can increase aggregate demand by increasing the price of Bitcoin, then I think the politicians are like, great, this helps me get reelected. And, but I want to be clear, that's if the central planners in the United States continue to see Bitcoin as a digital asset. If it's competing with gold, I wouldn't really be concerned with regulators at all. Once it starts competing with the dollar and it becomes more transactional in the future, that technology comes, which it most likely will, then it could be a different story. Then I would be far more worried about the quote-unquote regulators. But for me, I just cross that bridge when we get there. In Thursday note, someone, Oanda's Moya, had predicted that Bitcoin could tumble below as Russian central bank had proposed a ban over the use of mining in Russian territory, claiming the currency poses a risk to financial stability and monetary policy sovereignty. Okay, so there you go. I don't know if that's playing into it. My thoughts really on Bitcoin are everyone should own it regardless of what you think the price is going to do, because I think there's a risk that in the future, hopefully it won't come to this, but you could, if you believe in certain things like freedom, that or even free market capitalism, or if you don't believe in things such as maybe lockdowns that are thrust upon us in the name of climate change, that you could be deemed a domestic terrorist, you're excommunicated from the banking system. What do you do? I mean, just think about that for a moment. What would you do in that environment? Where would your wealth be? How would you access it? How would you buy food? Where would your purchasing power be? And that's why I think that everyone, if possible, should own some Bitcoin to have that purchasing power outside of the banking system. Now, as far as trading it and making money on it, what I am doing is, as far as an entry point, I like to see capitulation in the market. I like to buy things when they're cheap, sell them when they're expensive. How do you know if Bitcoin's cheap? I think it's all about market psychology. And I think that you have to try to determine what the views of the market are. If there's panic, if there's hysteria, I think that's probably the best way to say it. So I don't know if there's any panic right now at under $40,000, maybe a little bit, but I would like to see a lot more panic. And if I see more panic, and especially if some of the big players start to sell their position, that's when I really, really, really want to get interested in buying more Bitcoin than I already own. So right now, it's kind of getting at that point where I'm paying more attention to it than I did when it was at 50 or 60,000 as far as adding to the position. And it goes on the George Gammon watch list. Let's put it that way. And if we see it get down lower to where I see a lot fewer advertisements on CNBC, or if you see one of the the big people, big individuals in the space say, oh, I'm actually selling Bitcoin, then for me, that may be the time to go ahead and pull the trigger on adding to the position. So again, not investment advice. That's just kind of the way I see things. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Make sure that you're always standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.